Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. I am overjoyed right now. I just got to say, like, it has been a year and counting that I have been trying to get this guest on my podcast, and I'm just excited. So I have Dr. Shaanda Gore in the building, and
First of all, let me just say how excited I am to be here, that the calendars and the planets have aligned.
Yes.
So that we can be in the same room at the same time.
Really?
And I'm excited to be on your show.
Because I really cannot be near you for more than like 2 to 3 minutes at a time because somebody's always dragging you away and needing your brain. So tell us about the young Shaanda, because we know you now, Dr. Gore the Great. But tell us about young you. Where were you born and raised?
So I was actually born right outside of Cleveland, actually in Bay Village. And I spent my early years in a town called Elyria. And then my family moved. I followed my father's job into Illinois. And we spent time in Peoria, Illinois for a little while. And then we came into Ohio. We came back to Ohio. And we settled in Maumee, Ohio. And for those that may not know where Maumee is, that's right outside of Toledo.
Been a lot of places and probably learned a lot of things.
I have. I would say my teachers called me the what if kid. I'm the person who always explored. Technically, I always wanted to question, like, why is that? What's a better solution? If we have one solution, why couldn't there be other solutions? So I was that kid.
Perfect segue into my next question. How did your early environment shape your understanding of leadership, communication, and how did it influence you before you ever stepped into a formal leadership role?
Well, I believe that, you know, there's this saying, some people say, people are born leaders. I don't believe in that. I think that the environment does shape the individual. I think you have a tendency to being outgoing and being out with others. And I've found a number of leaders that are introverted, and they don't have to be extroverts, and it's an environmental. I would say that my parents nurtured an environment for me to explore, to learn, to be the best at what I wanted to be, and that encouragement carried all the way into my education, and it carried into the workplace. When I got ready to leave, I had my bachelor's, a BAC in communications, so that was at the heart. And the most effective leaders communicate well. They do the best in communicating and sharing a message. And when they say what a goal is, typically with a good communications, other individuals know why, like what the part they're playing in it. And I think that's where the heart of leadership, being a good communicator and being able to really tell the story of the purpose of what you're doing and why you're doing it.
I'm just in awe. Like, we're going to keep going, but I feel like I'm having a master class right now. Thank you. You've trained more than 23,000 leaders. What's the most surprising misconception people have about what effective leadership truly means?
So I have done, actually, last week it crossed over into 24,000 because I did 600 at one time. And I would say, you know, not everybody who might have been in my workshop would put themselves as a leader, to be fair, but they were on their way. And because of the training and the workshops that we did, emotional intelligence, understanding how to, you know, again, pivot in a situation where the challenges are. So I would say, you know, this has been an experience. Many of the individuals, what I hope for, anybody who goes into some type of training with me, you leave with a couple of good solid nuggets when you leave out. And I think that that's really made a difference.
In your book, because you are a best-selling author now.
Yes, international.
Yes. In your book, The Pin Leader Path, you discuss effective human and AI leadership. Can you explain to our listeners what AI is in the context that you're using it? What do you believe leaders most underestimate about leading with AI? And just your take on it.
Well, the pin leader concept came to me 20 years ago. So it's a book that took 20 years to write over time. And I must say it's a better book now than it would have been 20 years ago because of the experiences that I was able to build into in case studies. But the pin leader concept really talks about the most effective leaders being sharp, experienced, and educated in what they do, being straightforward with the plan and being able to pivot when they needed to. And I will say this, being strong, having strength of character. People want to follow people they can trust. And so that really plays a factor, especially when you're leading, especially if you're giving challenging information to someone. And people take it better when they trust that what you're telling them is the truth. And so that's where the pin comes in, the concept of the pin. And then, you know, AI is one of the four intelligences that the most effective leaders have. And I talk about it in the book. Emotional intelligence, intrapersonal intelligence, which is knowing thyself, being self-aware of where you are, your reactions, your triggers. And then the last one besides artificial intelligence is interpersonal intelligence, which is how to build positive relationships with those around you. And so when you have those three and then you throw in artificial intelligence, which is really leveraging it as a tool. And in the book, I talk about it as a team member who eventually may become a leader. It is not there yet. I'm not telling individuals who are listening to turn over everything to AI. Not at all. In fact, I'm in the book and on the cover of the book, I'm very clear. You put human in front of AI. It's not an alpha order. It's because humans always come first. And so we need to really keep that in mind when you're working with a tool like that. And if you're using it as part of a team and you're building a relationship with it, you need to keep in mind it is a tool that helps work you through and hopefully will take the mundane and turn it into something that you can then redirect all your energies in the more strategic thinking, the more creative side of you.
So no AI before humans?
No AI before you. Yes, and the alphabet for those who are like, hey, that's, I'm just saying, human before AI.
I think everybody's still scared of AI, and that's why this makes you an even more effective speaker, because you're telling them, do not be afraid. It is a tool. It is an ally. Learn to use it before it abuses us.
And let me just say this. Treat it. And I talk about hallucinations in the book, that AI doesn't always give you the true answer of what's going on. And I do say this, is that treat it like you're investigating. Come to three sources. This is the journalism in me. But go find three sources to back up whatever it's providing. And if it doesn't have that, and it's not providing the source, you need to question it, because it may fill in a gap with information that's just plain old not true.
I've seen some AI lies myself. Mm-hmm. Got to Google extra. You've consulted across industries from municipalities to athletic organizations. What's the toughest leadership or culture challenge you faced that completely changed your approach to developing others?
I think that when I first started talking about emotional intelligence and then how AI, the intelligences, and how they play in, was when I looked out in the audience and I saw some people getting emotional. It had triggered in them some of the comments that were being made in the room. And this is another reason why during my trainings, making this a safe space, why it's so important to do that. So I use different ways of getting the audience to respond, but they don't not necessarily have to speak out into the room. They can use the I usually give a presentation. They can QR code in and provide answers. So they can say what they want to say and feel that they can say it. And I read it, because when you read what's being on the screen and what's coming across, it becomes real. When you type it, it's real. And so it's therapeutic to many of the individuals that come to my sessions for them to say, I'm afraid. AI, I'm afraid. It's like the Terminator. That's what I get.
It's totally iRobot.
I'm afraid. But then they can say it there, but they don't may not be saying it to their boss. right? And so this gives them a chance. So I would say that was a game changer. And it's really been able to have, we can now have very truthful out conversations so that we can address really the elephant in the room.
So when you first started, was it like a conversation and then it became a QR code? Like, did you notice that people were scared to talk about it? And
yes.
Then, so you definitely adapted in that situation.
I did. It's nothing like when I would say, you know, the person at the water cooler who talks a lot but doesn't do the work. And they're like, they start to look around the room. I'm like, you're calling people out. We can't have that. Let's back that out. I even say, don't self-identify yourself or some, and don't call somebody else out. You just keep your head. But they all look down or they look up. I just think when you're having those kind of conversations, people know. And I would say this, people know good leaders, but do they know exceptional leaders? And this has been a challenge too. You know, you might be with someone that you might consider good, but have you had exposure to an exceptional leader? And that's where I'm always pushing. I'm not even good to great. I want you to be exceptional.
Looking ahead, if you could restructure leadership education for the next generation, what is one skill or mindset do you think that those new leaders need to acquire or to have?
I think that anyone who tells you, and I said this at the conference, it was at Great Lakes AI Week, and I said this at the podium in front of a very large group, and I said to them, anybody's going to tell you that this is what's going to happen in 5 years, and specifically in AI is where I was answering the question, I would run from them. Because there's no one walking around with a fortune telling and trying to, they shouldn't be. They can only predict as far as they can. But no one really knows what 5 years is going to look like from now. And even with I do leadership development, strategic planning, and culture building. And strategic planning is one of those pieces that I used to see plans that were 10 years out, maybe 5 years out, 3 years and 2 years out. So anyone listening about leadership, do not get hung up on leadership from 30 years ago. There's some nuggets in there, but just keep yourself educated. You want to be as sharp as possible and educate and experience with what's trending, what's new. And then I say in the beginning of my book, there is really important to understand, I don't believe in martyrdom. Working 60, 80 hours a week when you can become more efficient and work, I'll take somebody working 30 hours a week if they're getting the job done in an efficient way versus someone who'll labor all night long and not get the report done on time. It's not about time. It's about how you efficiently can work smarter, not harder.
This is from the master's mouth right now. We are in the Dr. Shantakor master class.
My doctorate in leadership, it is working for me.
It is. I'm ready to take my money. But yes, like this is very, very insightful interview, and the future is looking bright but kind of scary at the same time. And I know you're trying to take that fear away.
I think the more educated you become, the more comfortable you'll get.
Yeah.
And take baby steps. Please take baby steps. You're probably using it already. If you're using
I'm using it. I'm speaking on behalf of the general public. But
yes, for those listening, if you're using Alexa, Siri, Copilot, if you used to use that little paperclip that used to pop on the screen and talk to you, you've used AI at some point. You may not even realize it.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I love this. I'm so happy you made it. I'm on the important people list in your life.
You are fantastic. I love your show. Thank you very much.
You. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Piper. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.